The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Seder is Parashas Baalei Sicha, and also today was Yisrochag, the day after Shavuos. Try to find something in common from the Sedra that has to do both with the Sedra of the week and also with Shavuos, the giving of the Torah. Near the end of the Sedra, Perek Yud Beis, states Vatadaber Miriam Va'arein V'Moshe Al Odosi Isha Kushis Asher Lokoch Ki Isha Kushis Lokoch. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke Lashon Hora against Moshe in regards to the Isha HaKushis which he took. Now literally Isha HaKushis means the black woman. But Rashi, it's the opinion of the majority, the commentaries, and also in the Sifri, from the Tanoim, that this refers to Moshe's wife Tzipora. And Tzipora was not black, she was because she was from Midian. She was the daughter of Yisro from Midian. Midian actually was a nation which came from Yishmael, which was the son of Abraham. So she was not black. But the Torah refers to her as this. As Rashi tells us, that she stood out. Her beauty was so outstanding that she stood out from all other women, like a black person amongst white people. Now they spoke against Moshe. Vayomer harakach b'Moshe diber Hashem alei gam bonu diber vayishma Hashem. And they said that did Hashem speak only to Moshe? He spoke also to us. Vayish Moshe onav mi'od. Moshe was a very, very humble person. Mikola odom Hashem al pnei ha'adamah. He was more humble than any other person on the face of the earth. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu called all of them in, and he said, and he became very angry, and he said that has there ever been a greater prophet than Moshe, Bechol Beisi Nemon Hu, a more faithful person, Pe'el Pe'a Dabirbei, I've spoken to him like a man to another person, mouth to mouth, Vayicharaf Hashem Bon Vayilach, and he became angry. Now what was taking place here? So Rashi tells us that this is taking place after the giving of the Torah. Prior to the giving of the Torah, Klal Yisrael was commanded to separate themselves, man and wife, for 3 days in preparation for the giving of the Torah. This was 3 days before Shavuos. On Shavuos, when the Torah was given and they heard the Ten Commandments and all of the mitzvahs, afterwards, then a command came down from Har Sinai, saying, "Shuv lachem lo aleichem," that you all may return to your tents, that all men can return to their wives. Miriam found out that Moshe did not return to Tzipora. From the giving of the Torah, he never returned to Tzipora. Now his calculation was because at any time he could be called before Hashem to be spoken to, and therefore he always had to be in a state of readiness. This was his cheshbon. Miriam and Aaron became angry with this. They said, "Hashem only speak to you. He spoke to all of us. Still, we were not commanded to do such a thing." So they spoke against him. Their intent was not malicious. The intent was to stand up for they felt he was doing something wrong, and to stand up for the honor of Tzipora. So then Hashem called them in, and he said that you have no right to speak against Moshe. Lechein avdi Moshe b'chol beis hinei monhu. He's the most faithful servant in my entire household. You have no right to speak against him. Pe el pe adaber boy umare levechidus esmunas Hashem yabit. When I spoke to Moshe, when I speak to every other prophet, so it's through some type of vision, through some type of dream, through some type of thought. But when I spoke to Moshe, so this was not through any vision, this was not through any dream, not through any pictures, but pe el pe adaber boy. I spoke to him explicitly and openly, and lo yereisem ledaber ba'avdi b'Moshe. And you have no fear to speak against Moshe. Now, in these psukim, is mentioned that by Ish Meisha Onif Mi'od, Meisha was very, very humble. Mikola Odom Asher Al Pnei Ha'Adoma. He was more humble than any other person on the face of the earth. Now, why the Torah tells us this right here is somewhat puzzling. Unless it just means to say that Meisha did not defend himself and he did not take up his own cause. He didn't want to say anything. Rashi brings that he was savlan. He was savlan, which means he was very patient. He could, he accepted the criticism. Perhaps that's what the Torah is telling us here. But there could be another reason. That here the Torah is indicating to us, why was it that Moshe in particular, from all of the people of the world, was the one that to go on Har Sinai and to receive the Torah. Kodesh Baruch Hu found no other individual in the world that was capable of bringing Torah to the world. It could be here the Torah is telling us this is the reason. Now the principle is true, that we have Gemaras on. And the question is if that's why the Torah writes it here. Where do we find this? The Gemara brings in Masechta Shabbos. And Daf Pei Tes, Omer Bishu ben Levi. Bishu ben Levi said, "Bishor she yored Meisha melivnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu." After Meisha received the Torah on Har Sinai, and he came back down to this world with the Torah, Bo Sotan Bo Amar Lefonav, Ribbeinu Shel Olam, Torah Heichen Hi. The Sotan came to the Ribbeinu Shel Olam, and he said, "Where is this Torah? This Torah that is your greatest treasure, this Torah that was created 974 generations before the creation of the world, this Torah that was the master plan of the entire world. What happened to it? Where is it?" Om alei nesati l'oretz. So Hashem said, "I gave it to the land. I gave it to the earth." Olach etz oretz. Om alei teira hechini. So he went down to the earth and he asked the earth, "Where is the Torah?" Omrulai Elakim Havin Darko, they said, "It's not by me. I'm not capable of receiving the Torah. This couldn't be by me." Halach Etzal Yam, so he went to the sea. Vomalei Eini Modi, the sea said, "It's not by me. We're not capable of receiving the Torah. It's too great and it's too beyond us." Halach Etzal Tahom, so he went to the depths of the world. Omalei Ein Bi Shnema Tahim, Omalei Bihi, the depths said, "It's not by us. We don't have it. We couldn't accept the Torah." Omru Shomo Chozar Ve'Oma Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Oma, he went Chozar Ve'Oma Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he returned to Hashem. Ribbeinu Shel Olam Chifashti B'Chol Oretz. He said, "I have searched the entire earth. V'lo Matzasiyo. I have not found the Torah. What happened to it?" Omalei, now this was the son. Omalei, so Hashem said to him, "Lech Etzel ben Amram, go to the son of Amram, to Meisha Rabbeinu." Holach Etzel Meisha, so he went to Meisha. Omalei Teresh Nosan Lecho HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hechini, the Torah that Hashem has given to you, where is it? Omalei, so Meisha said, "V'chi mo ani shenosan li HaKadosh Baruch Hu Teira." So Meisha answered, "Who am I that Hashem should give the Torah to me?" Omalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he returned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he said, "It's not by Moshe either." So Omalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe. Moshe Bedoihu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Moshe is lying. He told the son. Moshe's lying. So Hashem came to Moshe. He said, why did you lie? So Moshe said, Ribbono shel Olam, chamud ha-genuza sheyesh lecho she'ata mishtasheh bo b'chol yom, this great treasure that you fondle each and every day, and he asks ktev l'atzmi, and I should lay claim that it was given to me. Therefore I told the Sotan, who am I that it should be given to me? Omalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe, ha'ilu mi'adeto atzmecho, tikra ashmecho. So Hashem said that since you were mi'adeto atzmecho, since you minimized yourself, since you made nothing of yourself, and you said, mi ani, who am I, that the Torah should be given to me, therefore tikra al shemecho, it will be called by your name. Shenemar zichro toras Moshe Abdi. Zichru teres Moshe Abdi. They shall remember, you shall remember the Torah of Moshe, my servant. Here the Gemara is telling us that the Sotan came to defy the giving of the Torah to the earth. He held Torah could not be given to this world. It is too much beyond this world. And that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, it was given to Moshe, and it will be called on Moshe's name. Through what midah? Through what quality? Because he minimized his own greatness, and he made himself as if he was nothing. This is why Torah was given to him. This is why it's called Torah's Moshe. The Maral explains in his Sefer Tveresh Yisrael, and also in the Nesivas Eilim, the second Nesiv, the Nesiv HaTeir Perek Beis, and in Tveresh Yisrael, Perek Chov Dalet, that the Torah, which is the Seichel Elyon, it is the wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, actually does not have an association with humanity. If we look at it superficially, because Torah is something which is completely removed from this world. It's the wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is completely spiritual. This world is physical. Man is physical. So where can there be the link of association between man and Torah? And this is what the Sotan meant when he came to defy that Torah was given into this world. And therefore he went to the entire world. Every facet of the earth said, the Torah is not by me. We are not capable of having Torah. We are not capable of accepting Torah. So through what quality was Torah therefore given? It was given through the quality of Moshe Rabbeinu. And what was that quality? It was given to him, and it was called by his name, Teres Moshe, because he completely made himself into a non-entity. Mo'ani, who am I that the Torah should be given to me? And this is what the Torah tells us, that Vayish Moshe Onef Mi'ayd, that Moshe was very humble from every man on the face of the earth. Through this quality of humility, man finds a common denominator between himself and Torah. Why is this? Because if a man creates in himself the quality of humility, then he is completely breaking and devastating his physical entity. He is becoming a non-physical person. He is becoming a non-geshem. And he rises above this world, above the physical world, where he can relate to Torah. The Rambam brings If you look at the Talmud Torah, Perek Gimel, Aloha Ches in Tess. Kosu b'teira lei b'ashamayim hi v'lei me'eva le'yam hi. The Torah, it says that the Torah is not in the heavens and it's not across the sea. What does this mean? Lei b'ashamayim hi lei b'gasi aruch hi metzuya. It's not in the heavens. The Torah will not be found by those who have haughty spirits. People who walk as if they are walking in the heavens. What does it mean it's not found by those across the sea? By those who cross the sea constantly, continually seeking for physical wealth. Therefore, our Chachomim tell us, not everyone who will pursue wealth will find wisdom. And therefore, our sages taught that one should minimize his pursuit for physical wealth and let him spend much of his time studying Torah. Divrei Torah nimshala kemayim. Torah is compared to water. Shenemar hevi kol tzomei lechu lemayim. It states in the prophets that all of those who are thirsty, let him go drink water. This refers to the Torah. So we see that the Torah is compared to water. Leimaloch mamayim enam iskansim b'mokam medram elan iskolim me'olov u'miskapsim b'mokam hishbeirin. Just like water. Water never gathers at a high place. Water always seeks the lowest point. From any high place it is, it will search and seek the lower point and eventually go there. And it will gather in the lowest point. Kach divrei Torah. So is it with Torah. Einam nimtzoim b'gasi aruach. It's not found by the haughty, by the conceited. V'leiv v'leiv kol gavaleiv. It's not found in the hearts of those who have haughty spirits. And it's not found by those who have haughty hearts. Ela bedako. But it's found by the person who holds himself low. Ushfal ruach. The person who holds himself humble. Shemis avek be'afa ragli achachomim. Someone who will sit at the dust of the feet of the wise, who meisir atavos, and he will remove the desires of tanugi azman beliboy and the temporary pleasures from his heart. If he will work every day sufficiently to support himself and his family, and the rest of the days and nights, he will study and occupy himself with Torah. So here the Rambam brings that Torah will be found by those who are not from the Gasi Adruach, not those who hold themselves high. Now, in one halacha, the Rambam brings two things here. Firstly, he says that it will not be found by those who are haughty. And secondly, it will not be found by those who have great pursuits and desires for physical wealth. The Rambam brings both of these in the same halacha. Now, what's the relationship between the two? Because Torah is a pure spiritual entity. Torah is a chelik of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And therefore, it's difficult for it to link with this world and to link with the individual. If the individual wants to acquire Torah, then he also will have to elevate himself to be able to receive the Torah. So therefore, he has to remove overindulgence of the physical world from himself. Also, he has to humble himself, remove from his heart, kol gavalev, haughtiness and conceit. Because both of these make a person into a physical person, which is just the contrary of Torah. The source for this is another Gemara also. This is in Masechta Tainus. Gemara Masechta Tanis Daf Zayin. Gemara says, we find that the Torah is compared not only to water, but to three types of fluids. B'mayim, to water, b'yayin, to wine, u'v'cholav, to milk. One pasuk says that everyone who is thirsty for knowledge, let him go drink water. It's referring to the water of Torah. U'ksiv, and there's another pasuk in Yeshayahu, l'chu shivru v'ochlu, Velechu shivru blei kesev, ublei mechir yain v'cholav, where it refers to Torah as wine and milk. Leimeloch mashleish mashkin alolo emes kayomin ale bepocha shebekelim. These three fluids can be contained only in a very simple vessel. Milk, water, and wine. If they're not kept in a very simple vessel, they will spoil. Same with Torah. If Torah is not held in a simple vessel, it will spoil. If Torah is by someone who is gavalev, who's very haughty and conceited, then the Torah will spoil. That brings a ma'aseh kiramrele barti de kesar Rabbi Shua ben Hananya. The daughter of the Caesar met Rabbi Shua ben Hananya. And Rabbi Shua ben Hananya was not a very handsome person. So she said, "Ei chochma mefu'ora b'kli mekuvar." How is it possible for such wisdom to be beheld in such an ugly vessel? Omar lo, so he said to her, "Avicha rami chamra b'moni deparcho." Your father, how does he keep his wine? Does he keep his wine in earthen vessels? Omrele, no. Does he keep his wine in beautiful vessels? Omrele, in earthen vessels. Omrele, elabemai nirme. So she said, how then should he keep it? Omalo, so he said, osin de chashivusi rami b'moni de dava v'kaspo. Everyone keeps their wine in earthen vessels, but you that come from the Caesar, you come from such a royal family, you should keep your wine in silver and golden vessels. So she went and she told the father, so they put all of their wine in the golden and silver vessels. The tokif became sour. Also the omru lo lay. Omalo lebate man omalo chochi. So the father came to the daughter and said, who advised you this? So she said, Rabbi Shua ben Hananya. Kayua. So he called him in. He said to him, why did you tell my daughter this? Omalei ki hechi damri li omrulo. I told her what she told me. She said wisdom can't be kept. Wisdom should be in a beautiful vessel. So I told her, wine also should be kept in a beautiful vessel. So then he said, "Voiko shpiri de gemiri." But we find also very good-looking people and handsome people who are also very learned. So he answered, "I have sonu tve have gemiri." It's a somewhat of a question as to what he answered. "I have sonu tve have gemiri." Rashi says, "I have sonu aysam noim sheim chachomim tve have gemiri." If they would not be so good-looking, they would be wiser. Why? Because someone who is very good looking, very handsome, so he is not going to humble himself. And since he will not humble himself, he'll forget his Torah. Tesis learns a little differently, because we find the Hagos Habach brings. We find that the Gemara says that one of the best looking persons ever in the world was Yaakov Avinu. As Yaakov, Shufra de Yaakov. Yaakov was Shufra de Yaakov, Kishufra de Adam Arishan. The beauty of Yaakov was like the beauty of the first man. He was physically perfect, besides being spiritually perfect.
And the Gemara also says, and Rabbi Abol and others, that they were very, very beautiful. So Taisus learns a little differently. If they were, if a person were not indulging in beauty, he would be even wiser. Because when a person starts to indulge in beauty, he pursues beauty and he's lured after it, then he becomes gavalev, he becomes very conceited. Omar Reb Chama Dover Acher, another reason why the Torah is compared to these three fluids, Mash Leshem Mashkin Alolo Ein Yifsolin Ela Behesech Hadas, Av Divrei Teire Ein Mishtachin Ela Behesech Hadas. These three fluids need very careful watching. Wine, and milk and water can become spoiled very easily. And if they're not watched carefully, they'll become spoiled. So is it with Divrei Teira. It has to be watched very carefully. This is the Gemara. So we see that the link to Torah in this world is the anivus, the humility of a person. If a person wants to be kena Torah, he has to humble himself. He has to become a very modest person. He has to separate himself from something which is too physical, because that's symbolic of this world. And the Torah is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, the one to bring Torah into this world was the one who was called the Onuf Mikol Odom, who was more humble than any person in the world. And that could be perhaps why in our Parsha, the Torah is specifically right there, when Miriam and Aaron were criticizing Moshe, they were saying, why is he doing things that other people were not instructed to do? There the Torah testifies that he was the humblest of all men. And therefore this was a different level altogether. He brought in Torah. No one else could bring this Torah. While we're speaking of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Vilna Gaon writes that we find that it was Moshe that brought the Torah to the world. No other individual was capable of this. To give an idea of who Moshe was, the Torah tells us that he lived to be 120 years old. The Gemara tells us that the world is destined to be, was created for 6,000 years. Now, 120 years is 1/50th of 6,000. Is that correct? We have some mathematicians here. It's 1/50th of 6,000. We have a halacha, a mitzvah of truma, that in Eretz Yisrael, when we plant our crops, so a portion was taken, given to the kahani. Now the Gemara says, how much should be taken to be given to the kahani? The Torah itself doesn't give the exact amount. Any amount we can give. But what is advisable to give? So the Gemara says, Ein Yofer, someone who wants to give generously, so he should give a 40th. Someone who wants to give the normal amount, he should give a 50th. And someone who gives less than a 50th, that's already Ein Sora. That's already less than a person should be giving. So the normal amount of truma that the person was obligated to set aside and give to the kahanim was 1/50th. What was truma?
Kodesh Baruch Hu said that there is chulin and kodesh. Of your crops, you must uplift a portion. Truma is from the word haroma. You must uplift a portion, set it aside for kedusha, for sanctity. That will accomplish two things. Firstly, it's given to the kahanim, and secondly, through this, it perfects all of your crops. We find that before you gave truma, you weren't allowed to eat any of it. After you separated it, then the portion that was given to the kahanim could be eaten only by the kahanim, and then the rest was allowed to be eaten by you. Before it was called tevel, and then through the hafrosha, through the separation, the rest was all perfected. So Hashem said that if you'll take from your crops and you'll set aside something for kedusha, so this will bring a kedusha, a sanctity into all of your crops, allowing the rest to be used for yourselves and this portion for the kahanim. So the Vilna Gaon says the same thing it was in the years given to the world. 6,000 years were given to the world, to the creation of this world, for the ongoing existence of this world. These 6,000 years also a truma had to be given from them. A certain portion had to be set aside, which was elevated from the rest of the world, and through this is brought perfection in all of the other years of the existence of the world. How much had to be given? 1/50. He says, these were the 120 years of the life of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now he says that really 1/40 would have been given. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu set aside the years of the world for sanctity, he would have done it with an Ein Yocher, as a generous person. So really 1/40 would have been given, which would have been more than 120 years. And Moshe was supposed to live more than 120 years. But when he sinned with the striking of the rock, he was supposed to speak to the rock, and he struck the rock and so forth. And then he was not allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael, and everyone else was going into Eretz Yisrael. So at that time it was decreed that he must die. So he lost extra years. Had he not sinned, so more years would have been apportioned to Moshe's life and into the portion that went into the truma of the world. Since because of the sin, so therefore it was just the normal amount. So therefore the 120 years of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, this was the truma of the world. So from there we can have an additional insight, concept as to what was Moshe Rabbeinu. That his 120 years were considered the truma of the world. That just like a person has a field, and he gives a portion to the kahanim, and this brings a sanctity now into his entire field, Moshe was that portion, and through that it brought a sanctity into the entire world. We'll go to one final point. Since we're speaking of the giving of the Torah, this is in Parshas Yisro. The Sedra that we learned during Shavuos was Parshas Yisro. Bachedish Ashlishi, this is in Yisro, Perek Yutes. Bachedish Ashlishi, Lutzeis B'nei Yisrael Meretz Mitzrayim, B'yem Azeh Bo Midbar Sinai. It was in the third month of the going out of Egypt that the children of Israel came to the desert of Sinai. So it states, B'yom Hazeh. B'yom Hazeh means on this day. Rashi says, this is Reish Chedish. Lo hoyo tzorech lichtei vela b'yem ahu. It should say on that day. The third month of the going out of Egypt, on that day. What does it mean, b'yem hazeh, on this day? Shiyudivrei torech chadoshim olecho ki ilu hayom nipu. This teaches us that the divrei Torah, they were coming to receive the Torah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, that in the third month on this day Torah was given. The Torah should be to an individual as if it was given today. All the time, Divrei Torah should be Chadoshim Alecha Kila Ayom Nitnu, as if it was given on this day. That's why it does not say on that day, but on this day. Torah was given today. Every day of a person's life, when he learns Torah, it must be considered as if it was given to him today. Now, the question is asked, this is, what are we trying to gear someone here psychologically? What does it mean that the Torah should be considered as if it was given today? When a person learns Torah, if it was given so many thousands of years ago, so then how can it be considered that it was given today? And how can it be considered that it was Kadoshim, that it's new? Now, and here lies a very deep principle. Something that is new . This brings simcha to a person. It brings great rejoicing. The Gemara says a person acquires something new, he has to make a brocha. He makes a brocha shechayonu. How would we describe something new? So this is, what is the difference? A person buys a new suit. So the first week it's new. A few weeks later it's not new anymore. Person buys a new car. How would we describe something that's new? The new acquisition, the kinyan that he makes on it, this is the description of something that's new. Acquisition. Having something that he did not have before. This is the description of something that's chodosh, that's new. If he already has it, then no longer is it new. But acquiring something that he didn't have before, this is new. And this is why I bring simcha to a person, because it's an addition. It's a tesefis. Like we find that if a person loses something, he loses an acquisition, this brings sadness to him. If he loses something, he's worried, he's sad. We find, heaven forbid, that if a person loses a member of the family, so it brings avelus, it brings mourning. A new member of the family is born. This is the greatest simcha. So, if we were to describe what is the concept of something new, it means an addition coming to a person that he didn't have before. A new conquest. Once he has it, right, the simcha of having things. But we cannot say it's a new addition because he already has it. But a new addition that he didn't have before, this brings the great simcha of something new. The Gemara says, "Kosh." Gemara brings it's a pasuk. The Torah is kosh liknais kesev zov, v'neach lishtaber kishukis. Torah is as difficult to acquire as gold and silver, and it's as easy to break as glass. Person has gold and silver, he knows they're very valuable, they're very difficult to purchase, but at least he knows that they won't break so easily. A person has something that's glass, it's easier to acquire, but then on the other hand he knows that they can become broken and that's it. Now Torah has both of these shortcomings. It's as difficult to acquire as gold and silver, and it's as easy to be lost as glass. Now what is this teaching us? A person never has a real kinyan, a real acquisition in Torah. Since Torah is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's something which is beyond this world, and something which is beyond man, so even when a person sits and he learns Torah, and he understands it, and he does make an acquisition in it, but never is it a complete kinyan. Never is it a solid, firm acquisition. This is why the Gemara says that a person must always review, must always chazer what he knows. He has to keep learning. And he has to keep learning it over and over again. Because if not, he will lose it. The Gemara says that someone who learns a piece of Gemara 100 times cannot be compared to someone who has learned the piece of Gemara 101 times. Why is it? What do we see from this? From here we see the great depths of Torah. It's endless depths. When it comes to secular knowledge, so there's so much, so the understanding has certain limitations on it. The content has certain limitations. Torah has no limitations. Each time you study it, you can understand it better. You can understand a facet that you didn't understand before. It's beyond the person. It reaches the person, but the source is in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So to the ultimate source, a person will never come to. And even when he understands it and he makes this acquisition on it, it's as easy to lose it as a glass vessel. This is what the Gemara meant that we just quoted, that it's compared to these three fluids, because these three fluids are nifsla b'hesach hadas. If a person will not pay attention to it, milk, it'll go off. Water, it'll become dirty if it's not kept in clean and enclosed vessels. Wine, if he doesn't pay heed to it, it'll become sour. So with Torah. Torah, a person must constantly give his heart and mind to, otherwise he'll lose it. So it's kosher liknes kekesef zov, it's as difficult to acquire as gold and silver, and it's as easy to lose as glass vessels. Now, since a person never has a real acquisition in it, a real kinyan, this means that every time he learns Torah, it's not that he is learning over something that's his. If he would have a real acquisition in it, so when he would learn it, he would be studying something that's his. Since he does not have a real acquisition in it, so he is never studying something that really is his. He is always studying something that's not his yet. Therefore, there is always the element of a Dover Chodesh, there's always the element of something new in Torah. If a person already purchased something and it's his, so once the newness wears off, so it's old. But if he can never make a real claim in it, and his only claim is at the time that he's studying it, so now there's a new purchase, there's a new acquisition. Therefore the Torah tells us that they came to Sinai, Bayim Azeh, on this day. The Torah must be considered to a person kechadoshim. When he studies Torah, he must realize it's kechadoshim. It's new, as if it was given on this day. Not on that day, but on this day. Something which was given a few thousand years ago. This is old history. So when we study old history, we're studying something that's old. But something, Torah that was given a few thousand years ago, this was not given then. This is given every time a person learns it, because it's at that time that he brings it into himself, not before. And even if he learns it a second time or a third time, again he's bringing it into himself. The Pasuk in Tehillim, in the beginning of Tehillim, tells us, David HaMelech said that in the beginning when a person learns, so it's considered Teres Hashem. After he learns day and night, then it's considered his Torah. So there is an element of acquisition. But still, this is not something which is complete, cut and dry. Therefore, the element of Torah, by a person that's learning, he must realize that every time he learns, this is new Torah that's being given to him from Sinai, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if it's something that he learned before. There are stories of certain great Gedalim that they bring this from the Vilna Gaon or from Reb Chaim Volozhiner, that one of the tests that they used to give a Talmud was to be able to say over the same shir in each time with new meaning and new excitement, in order to be able to see this depth in Torah. This is one of the paramount elements that Torah has. And this is why it brings simcha to a person whenever he learns. These are some of the some points that have to do with the parsha and also have to do with the Chag that we just had, and may we all be zeche to enjoy and to partake from the great brocha of the Torah that was given to us.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.